Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Matt Recap News on Monday, the 8th of September, 2025. I've just been for the walk. I do a daily walk with my dog. I try and do 10,000 steps. So it's like, what? It's over an hour, about 70 minutes, the 10,000 steps. The trouble is, I put my watch on. One of the members of the club said, have you tried? So I mentioned sleeping and trying to get 7 hours sleep. Of course, it's very important to get to what you need. And I realised for a long time, I do need 7 hours. You know, I don't need much more, but you start to suffer after a while if you don't have 7 hours. So anyway, one of the members of the club said, have you tried wearing a watch overnight? I said, yeah, it's an iWatch, you know, Apple. So the trouble is, I'm out of battery in the morning and I need it for the day. So I've tried this. I've charged it halfway through the day, and yesterday I wore it through the night. And it's good. It tells you, you know, your sleep patterns and your deep sleep, your rapid eye movement, your core, all that kind of stuff when you're awake. And it tells you, and I haven't managed to get 7 hours sleep. I've done it once in the last four days. But I went for my walk today and, you know, heading for a 70-minute walk. And then 5 minutes in, my watch says, you have 10 minutes of battery left. I thought, oh, my God. So annoying. So I started my stopwatch on my phone instead. But it's batteries, isn't it? I always remember listening to, I'm sure not imagining this, but the guy who helped invent the iPod, which became a massive success. Do you remember carrying Sony Walkmans around with a tape? And I think, could you get double tapes in them? I think you could. Basically, you could have, what, 24 songs maximum on a Walkman? Then the iPod came out straight away. Boom, 1,000 songs. That was a game changer, wasn't it? And I'm sure he said that the next bit of technology he wanted to invent was an improvement in battery life, you know, battery length. And you realise, well, that's quite boring. But you realise that battery life transforms everything. And why do I have to charge my iWatch every single day and my iPhone every single day? Do you remember the old Nokias? I know there's less functionality, around those, but their charge would last for a week, wouldn't it? Why can't we do that now with iPhones and iWatches? Just a week of battery. And not only that, you imagine how much it'd transform everything, the improvement in battery technology, to get to the point where cars could travel. You know, the equivalent now is, what is it? A full-charged car can do, what, 200 miles, 300 miles? Imagine if they transformed that, like they transformed the cassette into the iPod. You go from 24 songs to 1,000 songs. Or you go from 200 miles to, like, you know, 5,000 miles in one charge. Planes, everything. It would revolutionise the entire world. So even though battery technology is quite boring, it's a necessity, isn't it? Transform a lot. Everything's electrifying, but the technology isn't up to it. Why can't I wear my watch for like 2 days without charging it? Can't even do it a day. So annoying. Anyway, that's my non-market rant of the day. Maybe that's for a jingle for that. Okay, let's. I haven't really looked at macro news, really. In fact, there's a good article, and I got sucked down into a rabbit hole today. I was obviously filling out data. It's a big week. It's quite quiet today. There's few results out. But this week, it's going to get really busy. And next week, even more busy. And the week after that, it calms down, but still busy with results. But I was reading City AM. Let me just get this up. City AM. And I was quite inspired by this guy. What's his name? There we are. Here we go. Labour is gambling with Britain's global competitiveness. Real life Iron Man. And I think I've sort of heard this guy before. Richard Browning. He's a former Royal Marine who leads Gravity Industries and has written an open letter to Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson. But the thing is, by the time he sends that letter, they probably change post, so he probably won't get to her. I don't know if that's a new one or the old one, but they're having a shuffle, aren't they? So he said he fears Britain's young people risk being left behind unless significant modernisation is brought into our school curriculum. In a letter which has been acknowledged by the Department of Education, the CEO called for an introduction of mandatory business and entrepreneurship module in every secondary school by 2030. I agree. Through his company, which he states is worth more than 60 million, Browning is working on providing jet suits to the military. In the letter, Mr. Browning said, and I like this is the bit I like. He said, I've seen firsthand how entrepreneurial thinking can transform an idea that was once deemed impossible into a globally viable success. This journey would not have been achievable without the inspiration, ambition, and support instilled in me from an early age. Yet today, that same encouragement is lacking. I do not believe Britain is doing enough to inspire the next generation. Innovation and entrepreneurship are the twin engines of national economic growth. They are commonly misunderstood foundations that create jobs, attract investment, and drive tax revenues that our country so urgently needs. But we have lost sight of these ambitions, and we must urgently wake up. It's true, isn't it? Look at America. The most dynamic sort of country in the world for invention, technology, and innovation. And they have entrepreneurship, where you learn about business. I don't know what it's like now in school. I think my son does one of the modules. I don't know if it's entrepreneurship, but you should encourage people to follow their dreams, to set up businesses. You only have one life. And, you know, you only need 1 in 1,000 of these companies to become a, you know, international company. And it's worth it. They employ thousands and thousands of people. And they pay thousands and millions of pounds worth of tax. And they also, you know, spend in the economy. It's worth it. Absolutely worth it. Didn't someone say, you know, when you get go into university and all that, and you get go into a job pretty much, and you get a starting salary of, what, 25, 30 grand. Someone said that's the price they're paying for you to forget about your dreams. The older I get, the more I believe in this. As time becomes, you know, more rare as you go on, the more time is behind you than in front of you, you realise you only have one life. If you can afford to go for it in some respect, some angle, or some idea, go for it. You never have that chance again. And the best time to take the risk is when you're young. You know, we don't have responsibility, bills, or kids to look after, or support. Go for it. So if you have sons or daughters and they have a dream, let them go for it. And it's not about success or failure. In America, they encourage failure because you end up working out what's right and what's wrong. And maybe the first idea won't work. Maybe the second idea won't work. But if you keep persevering and working hard, you'll find a way to make a success. And it's sort of underlined in that book, that podcast on the founders, how, you know, most of the founders are hell-bent on finding success. And it's just sheer hard work, gruel, determination, you know, put them on the path of success. If they accepted a job, you know, standard job, like 30, 50 grand a year starting salary, they wouldn't have got there. It suppresses your dreams. Yeah, anyway. But what I'm saying is I got sucked down into a rabbit hole of this guy, Richard Browning. Just look up Gravity Industries or his name on Instagram or YouTube, and you've probably seen clips before of this guy flying onto boats, and but you can do courses now. If you look on his website, they're not cheap though. So apart from, you know, supplying these things to the military and stuff, you can do courses on how to fly them. And so you go along for a day taster, pretty much, a taster, and you go on harnesses and you get in one of these, you know, Iron Man suits. And it costs $2,500 for a day. Now, if you want a one-on-one session, like £6,600, £6,600 for a day. I thought, what's the point though? What can you do with it? If you look at the videos, it looks amazing. You know, flying, human flying. But you see, can't a robot do that? Can't they invent drones to do that? If it's, you know, for military purposes. But yeah, it is wonderful, you know, just looking at this bloke flying around everywhere. Anyway, check that out. Sorry, that's a bit of a sidetrack there. But I do believe in encouraging, you know, children to learn about business and investment and starting their own business. Okay, let's look at the markets. FTSE 100 up 0.14%, 9,221. The S&P 500 at the moment, it's up just under 31%, 6,499. Now, it did close higher on Friday and came back down because, of course, there was that soft jobs report, which basically means now the Fed are probably going to ease interest rates. But, of course, the reason they're doing that is because of the soft labour market. So the tug of war between, is the economy getting worse, or will the Fed be able to support this, the markets, by reducing interest rates? So we'll see. Small cap, FTSE small cap, it's up 0.25%, 7,122. Russell 2000 in America, flat pretty much. The fledgling in UK, FTSE fledgling up 0.5%. The FTSE 350 up 0.25%. FTSE 250 up 0.5%. The NASDAQ up 0.7%. Again, that is right. It's just below the high of Friday. It needs to get above that, really. So, like I said, it did open higher, then dropped lower on those numbers. So, initially, soft jobs. So, oh, good. Interest rates coming down. And they went, well, hang on. Is the labour market deteriorating to the point where it could be a recession? We don't know. What else is there? The AIM-All share. It's up 0.5%. 769. Well, this is good. Oh, we're not, you know, we need to get above 777, really. So at least we're off the low of the range there. Anything else? No, that'll do. Brent crude. It's pretty much flat, but $66.21 a barrel. It was up on Friday, 1.29%. I realise this is probably because the cut now OPEC Plus are going to do is a bit smaller than the previous cuts they're going to make to... or increases it? I don't know. So basically, they're not going to cut as much as they were, or they're going to supply a bit more than they, or supply less than they were going to. I don't know. Bitcoin up 1.25% to 112,500. It's starting to come back a little bit. Bitcoin is trying the rally here. It's trying its best. It needs to get above sort of previous spikes. Highs and intraday spikes, 113,500. It gets above that pretty, and closed above that pretty, a bullish sign. Dow Jones is flat. Let's have a look at gold. Oh, hang on, harmonica time. That's the all-time high harmonica. Gold, $3,680. In fact, I think my holding, any sort of just Ramsden's related, gold-related, is Ramsden's all-time high. Is it an all-time high? Yes, all-time high today. At it's funny, I was buying Ramsden's, right, on fundamental strength, and I bought them back in 2024, start of 2024, and they came out with a good report, I thought, and I bought them at, I think it was like 225, isn't it? Where was it? Yeah, 225, and it just sold off. And it went down to... 170. I bought some more. I only ever take small stakes in companies. But when you see a company fundamentally improving and the value is looking good and the share price doesn't react in that way, just do a bit more research and then have faith in your research. Because I'm doing that at the moment. I'm buying stocks, you know, that are, I think, you know, good fundamentally. But there's something in the market that is supplying, you know, there's oversupply of stocks coming from somewhere. I don't know what it is. I have no control of that. All I can say is, okay, fundamentally looks good. I'll take a placeholder here. And so that was 170. And then in August of 24, they came out with ahead of expectations trading update. So it shot back up to above where I bought at. My average was now about, I think, £2. It shot up to sort of 235, came back to £2, and then came down a bit further to £2. Yeah, in about the, and then in April this year, they came out with ahead of expectation again, and all of a sudden it went from 225 to 360. From April to now. So sometimes you've got to have a bit of faith, but don't overexpose in a company. I mentioned what the company is. I think I've sent out a PDF on the weekend. And short term, you can't predict where the share price is going to go. You can wait for it to cross moving averages, but sometimes if you see really good value in stock, you think, do you know what? You've just got to ignore the short-term pain sometimes, but don't go too big. Don't go, that's the key. But you can't manipulate the price, in your portfolio if you go too big. But you can if you take a small amount, but you believe in the business. You think the business is very good, it's a healthy balance sheet, there's forecasted growth, the value is very good. It's, the management have a big stake in the company. Essentially, you're investing in a business. And you like the business, think, okay, stick with it. Regardless of share price action, if they come up with results and they are in line with expectations and those expectations are decent, stick with it. Because sometimes you can really get a massive re-rating when, the market sort of catches on or sort of net supply sort of dries up and you get net demand in the shares and it starts to motor then. Like sometimes, let's say, the dynamics in the market, the reflection of the share price and actual value of the company or the operations can be two different things. And that's where there's not an efficient market out there. Honestly, I've seen this many times when markets lag on the actual figures because, you've no idea of who's holding the stock. So there may be some people who have to sell or institutions have to sell or big holders have to sell for personal reasons. And they'll just do that anytime they want to, normally around results times before and after. So you get a distorted movement in the share price. But anyway, that's gold. copper. By the way, gold is up 0.65%. to $3,676 an ounce. Copper, it's up a third of 1%. And that is, that's what the ton, is it about 10,000? 10,070. Is that about it, I think? Have I covered anything else? Copper, gold, yeah. Brent crude, yeah, pretty much. Maybe I should cover some other metals if they start rallying. Government bonds have eased off now, which is good. Whenever it's almost like the red line on a revometer, on your car, when you get the bond yields spiking a bit, it almost, cuts, it's a dangerous level for equities. But they've almost cooled off a bit. 2 year is down 0.75%, 3.9. The 10 year is down 1%, 4.6. I mean, that did hit 4.8, 4.85 last week. The 2 year hit 4%, now it's down to 3.9. And the 30-year still, in fact, it's come off a bit. It did hit 5.7%, and now it's down to 5.4%. So it's come off a bit. Pound will buy you €1 at 15, buy you $1.35. Yeah, okay. So let's look at the microcap database. I'm only covering profitable companies from now on because there's so many results coming out. I can't cover all the crap. And let's be honest, again, there's dislocations. I'm not saying the share price of a company who's loss-making will not rise. It will. You can have some fantastic rises on loss-making companies. But as far as risk-reward play is concerned, you're better off sticking with profitable companies. And generally, over the longer term, the profitable companies, outperform loss-making companies. Because, of course, loss-making companies tend to have to go back to the market or take on debt or do whatever they ever need to do to raise more money because they're not generating cash from operations. So, first and foremost, Concurrent Technologies. That was a good buy, wasn't it? I mean, that acquisition they made. So they acquired, what was it recently? They acquired record UK defence contracts, secured 4 million. Oh, sorry. Yes. What was this? Sorry, what's the news there? It was interims, isn't it? Yes. Concurrent interims, that's right. Oh, no, I was thinking of junior. Sorry, I'll cover that in a minute. These were interim results. So concurrent technology at 186 a share. Yeah, Journeo, sorry. That made an acquisition, and that company's won a contract already. It's obviously probably in the pipeline. So 186 a share, concurrent technology, CNC is ticker, designs, manufactures a range of computing products for use in critical embedded applications. The company was established in 1985. I never really care when a company's established, really. I don't see why that's a big thing. I suppose it's longevity, maybe. Market cap 160. Where's their cash? Well, their cash has gone down a bit. So enterprise value about 153. So let's look at the results for interim results for concurrent. It's been a good performer. It's in the microcap league. CNC's H1 results showed record-breaking revenue, profit, and order intake. Revenue up 25% to 21 million versus 16.8. Net profit up to 2.4 million versus 2.3, so 4%. Net cash down 7.8. This is for investment, I think. And free cash flow outflow did increase 4.7. They also say the board is confident in delivering financial performance ahead of full-year market expectations. So brokers have upgraded their forecast numbers. See broker comments above for members. Forecast 25, revenue up 29% to 52 million, net profit up 45%, 6.5 million, at 187 a share, forecast P of 24. Not cheap, but they have double digit top line and bottom line forecast growth for 2026 and 27. It's a quality business. And I'm thinking, even if they hang around here, what will it be like? So that's dropping to like a forecast PE of 19 for 2026 and 17 for 2027. Pretty much growth for this year, 45%, growth for 26, 25%, and growth for 27, 11%. That's net profit growth. So and they'll probably win more contracts as well, so that could easily go up. But I think it's a quality business. It's not cheap, but I think if you see any dips in the general market and this gets taken down, then it's worth doing some research on it. CNC, Concurrent Technologies. Next, Gaming Realms. Interim results. GMR is ticker. They create and license innovative games for mobile with operations UK, US, Canada and Malta. Through its unique IP and brands, Gaming Realms is bringing together media, entertainment and gaming assets into new game formats. The creator of a variety of Slingo, which bingo slots and other games largely focused around gambling. So at 45 pence a share, they did dip today actually, 11%. Market cap is 131 million, enterprise value 117. Let's scroll down. Financial results show revenue up 18%, 16 million. Profit for tax up 19% to 4.23 million. Net profit is down actually, 19% 2.7. But net cash is up 40% to 19 million. And free cash flow is up 184% to 5.8 million. They did say UK content licensing revenue, that's content licensing revenue, fell by 13% in H1. Due to, in fact, it was down 21% in Q2. And this was due to UK staking limit changes introduced in April. However, the trend improved sharply in July, reduced to 16%, and August reduced to 9% decline, as new Slingo innovations were certified and released. They also stated trading in the first half of 2025 was in line with expectations, and the board remains confident that it will maintain this positive trajectory throughout the remainder of the year. Now, it didn't say, which I think, apart from that, the UK thing that's happened, oddly, I did hold some of this in my microcap league fund, so only a small amount. I did sell about a month back because of the UK trading regulations. So I think, Labour are up against the wall. They're looking for money anywhere they can get. Down the back of the sofa, looking in the tumble dryer or the washing machine for extra pennies to put pennies in your pocket. So I think gambling will take a hit in the budget. And that's in November. So I think, why is uncertainty around? I'm in profit. I'll take a bit of profit here. Forecasts for 2025 are revenue growth of 8% to 30.7 million and net profit growth of 2% to 9 million. Now, at 48 pence a share, puts them on a forecast PE of 15. I don't think this is now particularly cheap for a company with single-digit forecast growth. Nevertheless, it's a quality company. You know, net margins of 30%. There are some rumours, like I said, but the UK government may be looking at other income streams, and gambling tax could be one such source. However, it's worth putting it into perspective because they only generated 3.6% of their revenue from the UK, whereas, you know, 59% came from North America. So if it takes a bigger hit, and we have to see, it may take a while to unroll in the markets, the price to correct. But maybe worth looking at this because, like I said, decent company, and they don't generate that much from the UK. So you maybe hit sentimentally, but one worth a watch, I think, if it gets quite cheap, because it's a decent company. And it's, at the moment, there's negative sentiment around this. But GMR, good company, maybe take advantage of negative sentiment. Next, Journeo. J-N-E-E-O. There's only one E. Leading intelligent transport systems provider, delivering solutions in town, city, airport. Basically, they provide the hardware and software to transport infrastructure, including those LED signs you see. In fact, they used one of those on Saturday. We're trying to catch a train to a small town to, you know, just take a dog for a walk and go to a nice garden, pub garden, I should say. But a tree fell on the track. But those LED screens that tell you when the next train's coming or the next bus is coming, they do a lot of that in the software as well. They've rallied quite strongly the last few days, but they've announced a contract today. What is it? Framework agreement, £5 million. Please announce that it's recently acquired a subsidiary, Crime and Fire Defence Systems, a specialist integrator of physical and cybersecurity solutions for the UK critical national infrastructure, defence and utilities markets, has secured a four-year framework agreement valued up to £5 million with a UK utility company. Under the framework agreement, it will deliver a complex high-security infrastructure production services across multiple sites, applying its specialist expertise to safeguard critical assets. So it's valued quite strongly. I mean, looking at the forecast here, for next year, this company, I think the new acquisition generates about 17 million of revenue, I think about 1.7 or 1.4 million of pre-tax profit. So only some of that's going to be recognised in this year, 2025. So top line revenue is going to be 13% growth to 56 million. That's 5, 6 million. And net profit of 4.2 million, which is down 7% on last year. But in 2026, this acquisition is fully recognised. And so they'll get, looking at 72 million top line, that's 29% growth on 25, and 5.6 million of net profit, which is 33% growth on 25. Puts them on a PE of 15. But an EV enterprise value of around 12, I think there's dips. Then it's worth looking at again because it's not expensive for that kind of growth, and it's a good company. And you know you would expect more contracts to come out between now and 2026, so I think it could improve. Good company, Junior. And finally, The Works. TheWorks.co.uk is a United Kingdom-based value retailer. The company is a retailer of books, arts and crafts, stationery, toys, and games. At 51 pence, there are 30 million market cap. Enterprise value, 26.3. What did they announce today? Was it an AGM statement? Yeah. I'll just scroll down past all the comments and the brokers, the chart. Yes. So the results for 2025, aside from revenue, were an improvement on 24. Revenue down 2%, 277 million. Profit for tax growth of 21% to 8.3 million. Now, some of this was exceptionals. Net cash up 154% to 4.1 million. Free cash flow up 47% to 28.5 million versus 19.3. Now, forecasts for 26 are revenue up 4% to 287 million. Net profit down 62% to 3.1. At 51 pence a share, puts them on a PE of 10, EV earnings of 8. Okay, but it seems 2025 was a one-off uplift due to exceptionals. With no growth, it seems less attractive, but further improvement is expected in 2027. With a return to growth, they're expected. So revenue up 6% to 304 million. Net profit up 52% to 4.7 million. At 51 pence a share, puts them on a PE of 6. This seems cheap if they can hit these numbers. Keep an eye on trading updates, because that seems like a decent... I mean, you know, it's, they're a retailer, so what are their margins here? Net margins are, I assume, 1%. But it's going up to 2% for 2027, which is double, isn't it? So, you know, it's significant. So if they continue on the improvement, and they have this, you know, efficiency program going on, then it could help them a lot. And so, like I said, they've rallied strongly from that initial ahead of expectations result a while back. And they rallied to like 64 pence, but now have come back to 51 pence. And it seems like some support at around 44. So it may get into that range now between 54 and 44. But yeah, keep an eye on it, because it's not expensive and they seem to be improving. So maybe worth a look, you know. Or keep an eye on it. It's, you know, it is a value retailer. So I think, you know, they've had a strong rally anyway. They rallied from, you know, 20 pence to 60 pence, because let's be honest, people thought they're going bust. You wouldn't think in this world where Amazon exists and lots of online stuff going on that a company like that could do well or profit, but they seem to be getting a handle on it. So, any significant dips may be worth a little look on that. So that's works. That's it for today. Thank you very much. And hopefully now, from now on in, see what's happening. Now I get rid of some of the non-profitable companies. There generally seems to be a better standard of company. And as an investor, not a trader who's trying to earn a quick buck, but as an investor into businesses, that's what you need to look for, is, you know, reliability of earnings, you know, less risk, but with a decent reward, you know? So hopefully these are safer plays going on, but with decent upside. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to go to sharepickers.com if you want to see a lot more information on these companies, which there are on the website. I mean, I'm scratching the surface here, covering probably about 5% of what you'll actually see on the website, probably even less, actually. And there's so much other stuff in there on the website, you know. Like I said, you know, you can see significant news. You see companies posting significant contracts or ahead of expectations, just dedicated to that alone. That's all it is. So you don't see hundreds of RNSs. You just see the RNSs from the entire market, not just microcaps, of companies issuing significant news. And there's other things like calendars, the microcap leagues, database, there's the blog. There's lots of stuff on there, lots of stuff. And all that for less than £3 a week. You know, if you don't regard that as good value, then you need to give your head a wobble. It's right. A while back, I had this guy haggling over a couple of quid. I'm thinking, mate, I don't know how much you're investing, but if literally this is not worth, you know, what, £3 a week to you, then it's no point. There's no point even haggling with you. You're being ridiculous over a few pennies. I'm sure, you know, probably the kind of person who spend, you know, think of spending like 40, 50 quid on drink or a meal, which literally, you know, you know, enjoy it, but it's not going to give you anything, you know, a value of knowledge-wise, is it? Sometimes people's priorities are all wrong, aren't they? There we are. Thanks for listening, and speaky tomorrow. Muchos apreciados.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.